Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Can Mayonnaise Kill a Jedi podcast. I am your co-host, Darth Salim.
And I am your main host, the Artificial Dragon. And welcome to episode 83 of a podcast, everybody. If you saw the title of this episode, you definitely know what we are continuing in this episode. But before we get into the meat and main subject of this episode, we will do the obligatory shameless promotion on our end.
As we always must do every episode.
Indeed. If you guys love our content, we have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/canmail. Once again, that's patreon.com/canmail. You could contribute to any amount, for the lowest being $2, or the highest being $10. The Discord server is open for anybody, where you could join and talk about general Star Wars lore, share memes, and talk about the numerous other topics with me and my co-host over here. We always have a fun time, don't we, Hannah?
Yes, we do. Today, we were currently talking about worst D&D players at a table.
Yay! Fortunately, I don't have too many bad D&D players, but yeah, even I give an occasional stinker here and there.
I think everyone does.
Oh yeah, unfortunately, as is the way of D&D. But yes, we have a wonderful time, and yeah, come on in. We're always welcoming for anybody who loves any part of a Star Wars lore. Prequels, original, even sequel trilogy. As much as we like to dunk on the sequel trilogy, this server is welcome for anybody. But yes, before I forget again, like I did last episode, for this month's Patreon, we have a wonderful...
The Patreon art piece.
Yeah, this month's Patreon art piece. It's another propaganda poster, and it is a Chiss agent for the Sith Empire. For this propaganda poster, the reference for this character is... Done by the lovely cosplayer, Skyline Stars. She's a small-time cosplayer. I followed her, like, a couple years ago. She does a couple of nice cosplays. She's a very nice person.
Today, Junior!
But point is, go ahead and support her. And if you love this art piece, you could contribute to our highest amount, which is the consular, $10 a month. But before I also forget about that, shout out to all of our highest tier patrons. We have Alan Lee, Alan Martinez, Y Wolves, Dr. Emboss, Gobiz, Lee Fott, Milo Khalid, Train Boy 17, and Tristan H. Thank you, as always, for supporting our podcast for the past 3 years. And hopefully, we are looking forward to all the new content we make in the near future and beyond.
Stay tuned for the 10K episode.
Indeed, we have something special planned. And granted, I am going to have to take a week off to verify everything, but keep an eye out for that special episode.
Makes so much sense.
But with that out of the way,
Support Celine's Cantina.
Yeah, the bar always needs her love every once in a while.
Yes, please.
And you have posted two new entries for the past couple of days. A little bit short and brief, but still nice regardless.
At least it's writing. At least I am sitting and writing.
It's always good to start small until you get back into the swing of things.
It's hard, I'll tell you what.
I mean, considering that our two episodes have been released over the weekend instead of our usual Thursday, yeah, I'm still trying to get back into the swing of things too. So I feel you, Hannah.
It's not even just the swing of things, it's all of the outside shit that is out of my control.
That is unfortunately true. But anyway, with that stuff out of the way, Hannah, what are we going to be talking about today?
The History of the Sith, part...
Six.
Six, thank you. I was not keeping track.
It's but okay.
Specifically, more into the Rule of Two and Darth Zana!
Yes, we are going to be exploring the, I wouldn't quite say the OG Sith waifu, but definitely one of the most recognizable Sith waifus.
Oh, the OG Sith waifu is, of course, Darth Lacra.
Okay, when you put it that way, Hannah, yes, Darth Lacris is the OG waifu. But I think
she came before Lana, so yeah, she's the OG Sith waifu.
That is very true. That is very true. But yeah, like I said with our previous episode on Darth Bane, there is so much shit that goes into Darth Zahnus history. Yes. Like I said with the Darth Bane episode, this is going to be the Cliff Notes version.
You say that every episode.
Yeah, because a lot of the shit that I'm going to be reiterating comes from the Darth Bane trilogy, which is an entire novel series, which we do need to get around to doing a book club episode one of these days.
You know that we have Dark Rendezvous to do first.
I know, unfortunately, we're being a little bit slow with that one, but I went through it twice, actually.
By no one's fault.
I know, Hannah, but...
Shit out of my control!
I'm not gonna throw any more shade at you, Hannah, but yes. Let me actually give you a nice little quote between the lovely master and apprentice. This will be Darth Bane, and then Darth Zahna. "You have done well, Zahna. I underestimated you. Had I known your plans, I would never have asked you to kill me. You still have much to teach me. I will continue to study at your feet, Master. I will learn from your wisdom. I will discover your secrets, unlocking them one by one, until everything you know, all your knowledge and all your power is mine. And once you are no longer of use to me, I will destroy you."
The rule of two in a nutshell.
Pretty much. The rule of two in a nutshell. And what better way...
Just that interaction. The rule of two in a nutshell.
And what better way of understanding the rule of two than the story between Darth Bane and Darth Zahna?
Yeah.
Yeah, if it wasn't very obvious, Darth Zahna is the very first apprentice of Darth Bane, and technically the first of a new breed of the modern Sith, like you see with Darth Sidious, Count Dooku, Maul, Darth Vader, so on and so forth. But yeah, unlike Darth Bane, Darth Zahna is kind of a little bit more underappreciated, even if, as we go into the story, Darth Zahna is responsible for a majority of Darth Bane's machinations.
Yes.
But yeah, let's go ahead and talk about, okay, I guarantee you, Hannah, a lot of people in the comments are going to be writing about Darth Zahna being the OG Gov GF, or, "I can fix her, I can fix her."
No, I would look at her and say, "You could step on me."
That is also true. Because if you see a lot of the...
Jump? How high?
Like, even in her... there's a lot of fan art, but a lot of official artwork. Actually...
I mean, her official art's fucking beautiful.
Yeah, she looks legitimately beautiful in the official art. But I really like this one fan art. She just looks gorgeous in that cloak.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, she...
The lightsaber design.
Yeah, the lightsaber design. Okay, so we'll eventually get into it. But if Darth Bane is your classic Sith warrior, then Zahna is the Sith Inquisitor, which is very, very obvious.
Oh, yeah. I mean, take just the Sith Inquisitor from SWTOR. Yeah. You immediately picture Zahna.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, you've told me that you've done a little bit of research on Darth Zahna. How much do you actually know about her?
It was months ago that I read through her Wikipedia page. That's so fair. I probably forgot some things in some time, but, you know, if I remember something, I'll chime in.
That's very fair. I mean, like I did before with Mara Jade and a couple of other characters, I didn't really think too much of Darth Zahna going in. Like, she's one of those important characters that is pretty much a side thought for me. But after doing a little bit of research, I do think Darth Zahna is a legitimately fascinating character. Like, she's got an entire character arc. She's goes through her phases. She has a lot of character development. I think she's a legitimately interesting character.
as is a lot of these characters in Star Wars.
Oh, abso-fucking-lutely. But I know a lot of people will be here for the Goff GF. We do love our Witches of Dathomir, Hannah, and she could very clearly be mistaken as a Witch of Dathomir.
I could see her maybe, getting along with the witches.
Yeah, she could be a very obvious influence on them as well.
That's a maybe.
But yeah, before we, okay, so let's go ahead and get into the story of Darth Zanna as a character. So Darth Zanna, before she became the most infamous Sith Inquisitor of the entire galaxy and all of that, and continuing the rule of two, she was born 1,010 years before the Battle of Yavin. So she was like 10 years when the Battle of Rusan happened.
Yep.
And she was given the name of Rain. And she lived on this mid-rim world of Somov Rit, which is basically your typical swamp planet and all that. She spent her childhood with her cousins, Derevet, Herdrian, and Root. And keep in mind, all of the inhabitants of this world are known by their nicknames. Like Raina, she's known as just Rain. Zanna is her birth name, but most of the time she calls herself Rain.
Fair enough.
And this tradition was passed down out of a superstition of the legend of a swamp demon. It's like, oh, don't say your birth name, otherwise the swamp demon will abduct you in the middle of the night.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but it just gives you a nice little indication of this superstitious nature that the inhabitants of this world have. And one day, the world would be visited by a Jedi scout named Tar Snupnot, who was looking for recruits in the Army of Light. Like, he's basically looking for Force sensitives to add to the ranks of a Jedi.
Yeah.
And Rain and her cousins, not quite Rain, Derevet and Hedren fit this criteria because they're very strong in the Force. And Rain, on the other hand, she was kind of very insignificant in terms of Force abilities. So initially the Jedi Scout was like, I don't know about this, because he's kind of a little bit iffy on taking children in it anyway. So he's all like, this is the middle of a fucking war. I'm not sure I should be bringing kids into this. I'm kind of breaking my rules, taking you two along, but not you, Rain.
Yet another point in Jedi history where they're kind of okay with taking kids, but they're also not.
Yeah. But yeah, like, you gotta keep in mind from the perspective of these children. Like, they want to get off of their middle of butt-fuck-nowhere world and go explore the wider galaxy, have their nice little adventures. And, like, Rain was kind of begging this Jedi Scout, like, come on, please, take me with you. My cousins are coming. I want to go with them. You know, like, being the innocent little girl. And, like, she attempted to move a rock with the Force, and her cousin actually helped her out a little bit, and she was able to lift a rock with his help. And she's like, yay, I'm going to join the Jedi and have adventures. And there's an entire comic that goes behind this, and you can see that little panel where Zanna is just very happy to be on a little adventure.
That's funny, the JPEG. I can go. Aw, that's so cute.
Yeah. She was a very innocent little girl who just thinks this is the motherfucking Bilbo Baggins gif of, I'm going on an adventure!
Yes. The poor Jedi's like, I don't know about
this. Yeah, you could tell the Jedi was like, I don't know about this.
I have a very bad feeling about this.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Rain and her two cousins get on the Jedi ship, and they make their way to Rusan. However, upon arrival, the Jedi ship would be immediately attacked by Sith fighters, and they managed to tear a hole in the side of this ship. And Rain, unfortunately, would be sucked out and would be sent to the woods below.
Aww.
And her cousin's like, we need to rescue her. And the Jedi was like, no, we're being attacked. We need to get the fuck out of here. And they were unfortunately forced to abandon Rain to the wilderness. Fortunately, though, Rain had a little bit of a guardian angel saving her.
It was a,
the bouncer.
The bouncer, that's what it was.
Yeah, the little green puffballs. the green puffballs that are the native.
It looks like an overgrown triple.
Yeah, but this bouncer's name is is a law, and she saved Rain from falling in the woods. Like, each bouncer is force sensitive, and they're fairly powerful in the force and all that.
A fucking look back on our cute animals episode.
Yeah, it's in the motherfucking thumbnail playing with a love cat.
Yeah, but bouncers are just oversized tribbles that are force sensitive.
Yeah, I think it's, even though they look a little bit goofy looking, I think they're awesome.
They're adorable.
They are very adorable. And yeah, like Law, she was like because of a philosophy, if you recall from our that very episode, the bouncers, they hold all life as sacred. So Law didn't want to see this little humanoid just splat on the ground, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
And yeah, she was like, okay, I got this little child. I'm going to keep an eye on them until they recover.
Must protect.
Must protect. But yeah, Raina, she would be saved by the bouncer, and she would befriend the creature, and would spend the next couple of days recovering from her traumatic experience, oblivious to the large bloodshed that was happening all across Rusan. If you remember anything from our last episode, yeah, it was basically mad samurai duels.
No shit, I remember.
Yeah. But yeah, like every once in a while, Law would be flying and Rain would be riding atop the bouncer. Because, you know, the bouncers like can actually
Goku
fly through there.
Nimbus.
Pretty much. And during this time, this was when Bane returned to the Brotherhood of Darkness and told them to enact this ritual to smite the Army of Light and so on and so forth. I know from the previous episode, I basically described it as like a storm that set an entire forest on fire, but I want to put this in better perspective. Bane outright said to the Brotherhood of Darkness when they were enacting the ritual, "Are you ready to kill a world?" Like, the Forest Storm is a, quote, world-killing ritual. So this is nothing to scoff at.
Initiate that it.
Well, yes, but you understand the scope of his power that Bane has at his command.
Yeah, I do, but Vichy did it.
But yeah, like, so he was, Bane was enacting this ritual over the cliff of the rest of the Brotherhood.
It was just played in my mind, like, Simpsons did it. Vichy did it.
If that meme doesn't exist, it should exist now.
I want to make that a
But anyway, so Bane enacts this ritual over the cliff of the rest of the Brotherhood. And during this entire time, Rain was sensed this mass catastrophe that was about to happen. And obviously, Law could not outrun the storm, so Rain instinctively projected a force bubble over her and Law as this huge destruction is happening all around her. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like that scene where that protagonist character who's like shielding from themselves from an explosion. Everything is, okay, this is a much better comparison. You remember how in the Curse of Strahd campaign, Blues broke the Staff of Power and everybody died except Cain?
Yes.
That's pretty much what happened with Zanna.
Yeah, I kind of got that.
And, yeah, like I said before, the Forest Storm is a planet-killing ritual. And the fact that Rain, who isn't trained in the Force at all, was able to survive that is kind of impressive.
Yeah.
And Rain was all like, yeah, I am actually powerful in the Force. I'm going to live on to be a powerful Jedi. And Law was all like, no, I don't think that's going to happen. And Rain was like, what do you mean? Well, I didn't want to tell you this, but I keep having dreams. And I see you in these dreams. And you become a powerful Force user, granted, but you become a dark Jedi.
That's just the Diet Sith.
Well, point is, Law, bouncers can pretty much see the future.
Yeah, I remember. Law doesn't know what a Sith is, so yeah. She's just like, you turned out to be a dark Jedi.
Yeah, pretty much. And Rain was like, well, if you saw that in your dreams, then why did you bother saving me? And she's like, because I hold all life as sacred.
That's so cute.
It is very cute. And Rain, she, You can imagine a 10-year-old being told that she's going to be a dictator one day.
Yes, that's the better way to put that.
Well, anyway, you can imagine from Rain's perspective of this huge revelation and how and how traumatized she felt after that revelation. So she reacted by throwing herself off a cliff.
I'm going to be a dark Jedi. Yeet!
But at the last minute, she kind of changed her mind and used the Force to levitate her out of a cliff and back on top of where Law is.
Aw, cute.
Because she was all like, okay, that's my destiny is not set in stone. If I take steps to prevent this from happening, then I'll be okay and I'll be a Jedi. Which is, as an ancient turtle would say, one meets his destiny on the road he takes to avoid it.
Well, we'll see. I mean, she's only 10, so.
Yeah, well, it's just going to get tragic as we go forward.
I know,
forward.
But at that time, she doesn't know that.
Yeah, but anyway, so, yeah, she and Law go on, continue on their journey to find the Jedi settlement so that Rain could reunite with her cousins and everything. During that entire situation where Bane used the Force Storm, all the bouncers that got caught in his vicinity went uber insane. Mm-hmm. Like, they were passing on dark thoughts to all of the wounded and the injured and causing them to commit suicide. So a lot of the people of the Army of Light were kind of forced to kill a lot of bouncers because they don't want any blows to morale from these cute little fluff balls going around.
Yeah.
So when Law was within sight of a Jedi encampment, the Jedi saw this bouncer and they had no other choice because, you know, bouncers are providing nightmarish visions, so they were kind of forced to shoot her down.
Oh.
And Rain, she fell down with her friend, the only being that has cared for her through this entire ordeal, just shot in the head with an arrow. Oh. And Rain's entire viewpoint crumbled as she was bawling her eyes out.
Well, duh.
And she looked towards the two people that inflicted this killing blow on her friend. And with extreme anger, she reached out through the Force, calling upon the power of the dark side, and instantly snapped both of their necks.
That's why she says she's a killer. And she needs Bane.
Yeah. And she was just grieving over the loss of her friend. And then this mysterious figure approaches her and asks her this entire ordeal, the entire exchange I repeated last episode.
Insert here.
And at first, Rain, when Bane asked who she is, at first Rain replied that her name is Rain, but she decided to change her mind and gave forth her birth name to Bane. Because at this point, like, she has nothing else to lose, why the fuck not?
Yeah.
Might as well let the Swamp Demon take me.
As a fucking 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Fuck it, I have nothing else to lose.
Pretty much. But yeah, like, after this, Bane saw a huge potential in this young girl, this 10-year-old girl, who was able to kill two Jedi, despite having no formal Force training or anything
like
that.
That's exactly him.
Yeah, he was like, I see a kindred spirit in this young girl. She could make a good first apprentice. And at first, like, they aren't quite master apprentice just yet. Bane is just chaperoning Zana for the time being. Mm-hmm. So he takes Zana along with him on his speeder bike, and they go back to the caves where the thought bomb exploded. And I do want to clarify a couple of things. Even though the thought bomb looks like this cylindrical egg thing, that was after it was activated. Basically, it absorbs the essence, the souls, if you will, mm-hmm. of everybody in its blast radiance and contains it in this iridescent cube thing.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that's not the bomb itself. That's just the aftermath of the explosion. Think of it as like the soul natals from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
But yeah, they go back into the caves where the thought bomb is. Let me actually, I know I downloaded it somewhere, but yeah, here it is. This is what the thought bomb looks like after the explosion. You see a bunch of bouncers just wandering around it.
Okay. Yeah, still looks like a giant egg.
But yeah, Bane, he wanders back to the thought bomb, pretty much to show Zanna that they are the only remaining Sith left. And...
Supposedly.
But anyway, and...
Excuse me.
While she and Bane were inspecting the thought bomb, a familiar figure... went into the caves as well, and it's one of Zanna's cousins, Devereaux, and he's all like, "Oh, Rain, you have returned. I'm so glad to see you." And Rain's like, "I'm no longer Rain, Devereaux. My name is Zanna." And Devereaux, he's like, "Zanna, why are you speaking your birth name?" And then he looked at Bane. He activated his lightsaber, and he's all like, "You get away from her, Rain. Come back to me." And Rain, Zanna now at least. Zanna, she instinctively set off his right hand in a huge explosion, basically casting disintegrate on his hand instinctively.
Shit.
And Bane was like, "Why didn't you kill him?" And Zanna's like, "His death would not bring me satisfaction. Besides, I'm still young and I still have much to learn." And Bane's like, "I'm very impressed with you." And then she and Bane basically left Devereaux to be stranded on Rusan.
That sucks.
So yeah, rip.
They're actually, quote unquote, less murdery than Palpatine.
Yeah, that is very true.
But like Bane didn't... Okay, was it Bane's idea to kill all the Dark Brotherhood?
Yeah.
But he tricked them into doing that.
That is also true.
They were determined to use it. It's like, okay, fuck around and find out.
Pretty much, yeah. After that, this is where Zanna's path to eventually become a Sith apprentice truly began. Because Bane, even though he saw the potential in Zanna, he still wanted to see if she was committed to his ideals of a rule of two. So he gave Zanna a test. Basically, "I'm not going to help you. Find your own way off of Rusan and meet me on the planet of Onderon. That is where we will rendezvous." And Bane, he goes off on his own adventure, and Zanna is just left alone once again to find her own way off.
That sucks. This poor 10-year-old's like, "Oh, man."
But on the bright side, after a couple of days of venturing across the landscape of Rusan, she found a shuttle that was occupied by 5 humans, and she walked up to them, basically under the impression that she's a war orphan. Like, "I don't have my parents. Could one of you guys bring me off?" And you're like, "Aw, I'm so sorry, little girl. I'm so sorry about your family." "Sure. We were looking for survivors anyway. Come on to our shuttle." And one of the leader of this group of humans was a former soldier of the Army of Light. I can't remember her name at the moment. It's not really important right now. But point is, they take her on board. And they're like, "All right, even though you're a refugee, we could provide you a better home." Because Zanna's like, "I want to go to Onderon." Like, and they're like, "There's no reason to really go to Onderon. There's a bunch of beast riders. We could provide you a better life at like Coruscant or whatever." And at first, Zanna, she was kind of contemplating, like, I know pursuing this apprenticeship under this Bane fella would probably show me my true potential. But then again, I would probably be safe if I take their offer and go to Coruscant or whatever. However, after a couple more revelations, she realizes that her safety would not be guaranteed under the Republic. And she basically, tried to force the occupants to turn away from a Republic fleet and go to Onderon. They were trying to reason with her and everything like that, but she got one of their blasters and just shot them all dead.
Well, if you have to do it, you have to do it.
Yeah, pretty much. This is truly the moment where she killed out of cold blood. I mean, you could argue that the first two were out of self-defense because they killed her friend, first off. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she killed the occupants and programmed the shuttle to go to Onderon. And it wasn't, keep in mind, this wasn't exactly a fast journey. She was on that shuttle for 5 days, just willing in what she has done. And kind of using the Force to feed on the terror that she inflicted on these people.
Yeah.
And she was shocked at first, but since 5 days had passed, she kind of moved past it. She was, you know, numbing it out of her consciousness and all of that. And eventually,
that's called dissociating.
Yeah. Eventually, Zana would arrive on Onderon, miraculously before Bane arrived.
She beat him.
Yep.
That's funny.
Yeah. But the moment she arrived, she was immediately surrounded by the Beast Riders of Onderon.
Well, yeah.
And they were like, and she was like, look, I'm not here to fight. I'm just here to meet up with somebody. But these Beast Riders weren't interested in that. And they were about to take her in captive and all that. But then they found out that she's a untrained Force user. And they tried giving her a chance to surrender. Otherwise, they're going to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of nowhere, Bane shows up and a motherfucking Drexel, which is the native beast of Doxin, the moon of Onderon. And he arrived in this Droxel that is bigger than any of the other beast riders have. And he single-handedly killed all of those beast riders by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so just a little brief context. The reason Bane didn't arrive on Onderon was because he went to the moon of Doxin first. Because he wanted to explore the tomb of Freedon Nad, if you remember that dude.
I have played KOTOR 2 a handful of times. Yes, I know who the fuck Freedon Nad is.
I'm just double checking, Hannah, but yes. He went to the tomb of Freedon Nad and found the Holocron. Unfortunately, however, he met a couple of unfortunate or unwanted passengers. There's these parasitic creatures called Orbalis, and they may not look very intimidating, but these guys will prove to be very influential for Darth Bane and his little tenure.
Look like a weird version of a facehugger.
Yeah, pretty much. They're little parasites that consume the dark side essence of a creature. And the nice thing, or unfortunate thing about these guys, is that their carapace is resistant to most damage, including lightsabers.
Mm.
So, pretty much Bane got himself a set of living armor that made him completely immune to Force and lightsaber damage.
What the fuck is that color design? Ew!
Yeah, just imagine a bunch of parasites covering your body.
His helmet, he looks goofy as all fuck!
Well, the reason he has that helmet is because the Orbalis, they cover the entire body, including the head. So if he doesn't have that helmet, he's gonna suffocate. So, for all intents and purposes,
he looks so fucking stupid.
Well, I know. But on the plus side, he's immune to all lightsaber damage.
And I know, he still looks so stupid, though.
And because of the Orbalisk's abilities, they also gave Bane a healing factor like Deadpool.
Because why the fuck not?
So, like Zana, she's just amazed at her now master riding this huge beast into battle, slaying all the other beast riders, and recovering from fatal injuries.
I just had a better one.
What?
Better comparison. Bane in that armor. He looks like Heat Miser.
Heat Miser? Oh,
from
God.
From Year Without a Santa Claus.
Interesting comparison.
Yeah. When you're editing this, you'll see what I mean, and you're gonna laugh your ass off.
I'm pretty sure I will, Hannah. But yeah, Bane, after everything is said and done with the Beast Riders, Bane was very impressed with Zana surviving her test And there he officially made Zana his new apprentice and proclaimed her, well, Darvzana. So after that, Zana's training would begin. And they went back to a very familiar world called Ambria, which is a very prime place for Bane and Zana to hide and begin the rule of two, away from the attention of the Galactic Republic and all that. On the world, Bane instilled Zana the tenets of secrecy, patience, and ingenuity. A lot of things that that would be good for keeping a low profile in this new era of the galaxy and all that. Among Zana's first lesson, she was tasked to tame a wild creature called a Nek, which is basically this small dinosaur-looking thing. Here's a picture of him.
A Nek. It's just a raptor.
Yeah, just a tiny little raptor things. They are mainly herbivores, but basically Bane is tasking her to basically, you know, become one and dominate the wills of other life forms and all that sort of thing. And Zana, she slowly gained the trust. She spent days gaining the trust of this one Nek, which he began to grow emotionally attached to, almost like a pet.
Aww.
And eventually, she was able to coax it back to the camp where Bane was at. Bane was all like, not bad. Not bad, my apprentice. And then he reached out through the force and snapped its neck.
Yep.
And then he put it into a boiling pot for food. So, like, basically, Zana realized that this lesson was twofold. Having the patience to dominate another being or creature through cunning and bend it to her will, while also having the sense of detachment.
Yeah.
Which does make sense for her new life that's ahead of her, but, yeah, you could imagine how traumatizing that would be for a 10-year-old.
I mean, she saw Law, one of her shortest but bestest friends,
yeah,
get killed right in front of her. She killed the two men who killed her.
Mm-hmm.
And then spends time nurturing this animal.
Mm-hmm.
And her master is just, snap.
Woo! Yay, dinner!
You would think that she's probably, like kind of in between. It's like,
yeah,
that's a little traumatizing, but she's so, not so far, but, like, it is a learning experience.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
It's like teaching her, yes, that was traumatizing, that hurt, but this is what the Sith do.
Yeah, this is what the Sith do. I guess it's kind of a way of numbing her emotional attachment sort of thing.
Yeah, almost. That's how I was trying to put it.
Yeah, that is true. But yes, for the next 4 years, Zana would be learning the ways of the Sith from Darth Bane on Ambria. And, you know, they would be living off the landscapes and learning lessons from the few holocrons that Bane had at his disposal. And Bane, during his time on Doxin, he did find the holocron of Freedon Nadh, which contains the ways of Sith alchemy. And Bane, admittedly, he said, okay, Bane, even though he's a little bit of a nerd of Sith history and all that,
mm-hmm.
he's more about the raw aspect of the Force, not all this magic stuff.
He's not the mystic.
Yeah, he's not the mystic. Zana, on the other hand, was very eager to learn the ways of Sith alchemy, and she went deep into the knowledge that Freedom Nadh's holocron had at her disposal.
This is why we call her the Sith Inquisitor.
Yeah.
Bane is definitely more the Sith warrior.
Exactly. With his new freaking armor that he has, Darth Bane is the paladin, and motherfucking Zana is the sorcerer / rogue.
Yeah.
That's what I imagine, if we're going by D&D standards anyway. You know, she was becoming this Sith sorceress. Like, she had numerous spells at her disposal. Like, she could enact Sith illusions, create everybody's worst, deepest, darkest fears, that sort of thing.
Literally, fear.
Yeah, pretty much. And she became so motherfucking good, Bane basically warned her that if she ever used any of her spells on him, he will kill her.
She's probably at the point of like, eh, I don't care.
In turn of his time frame, Zana would construct her own personal double-bladed lightsaber, which she called Bane's Heart. And this double-bladed lightsaber, so if you remember from our Darth Maul episode, the double-bladed lightsaber has like...
has four crystals.
Four crystals in it. And one of these crystals is particularly unique, which is called, also called, the Bane's Heart.
Yeah, it's a special crystal that she somehow found.
Yeah, it's this,
It is never explained!
But it still looks pretty cool.
It does.
Yeah.
I would want to have that as a lightsaber crystal.
By the way, this is one of the lightsabers that you could find in Star Wars Galaxies. Particularly, you could find it on NK Necrosis, who is the android that took Grievous's body and everything.
I really want to play that game.
Yeah, me too, Hannah. It's going to be a pain in the ass once we get around to it, but yeah.
No, it's like, I know there's an emulator, but it's still going to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah. But, okay, so... this double-blade lightsaber has a lengthened hilt to kind of accommodate for her average height. Because if you see from any of the images, she is very tiny. She's a very slim build.
Your new headcanon, Zana is 5'6".
Yeah, yeah, and Vayne is like a hulking muscle of a man. He's all about brute force. And Zana, she's not all about brute force. She's all about the smarts.
The smarts and the quickness.
Yeah. And the proof is, Bane kind of trained her in the ways of a defensive form of lightsaber combat, which is Sarisu.
Yeah, makes sense.
So yeah, she's not exactly a powerhouse, but she has an impenetrable defense. So she's pretty good with that.
Yeah.
And yeah, for another...
if anything, Bane is the powerhouse.
Yeah, he is absolutely the powerhouse. Considering that he now has impenetrable armor, he might as well be that.
And a healing factor.
Yeah, exactly. Another 6 years would pass. And Zana, at this point, she would be 20 years old. So it's been 10 years under her tenure as Darth Bane's apprentice. Mm-hmm. And the young woman, she would essentially be Bane's will, be Bane's voice, the operative in the wider galaxy. Because as much as a juggernaut Bane is with his orbalisk armor, the downside with that is that he stands out like a sore thumb in the Force.
Well, no shit.
Well, I mean, okay, physically he stands out like a sore thumb, but... keep in mind, the Orbalists feed on the power of the dark side. So, pretty much any Force sensitive...
he's a walking dark side red flag.
So, yeah, he has to stay on Ambria while Zana does his missions and everything. So, yeah, he just has to twiddle his thumbs, literally, while Zana's doing everything. Like, he's like... any day now. And Zana's just doing everything for him.
No, Bane's just saying there is King Julian. How long is this going to take?
Pretty much.
Zana's out there kicking ass and being a queen.
Yeah, and if it wasn't obvious when I did the paladin comparison, Bane would be horrible with stealth for this.
It's too funny.
But yeah, point is, Zana, she would be carrying out the task Bane set for her. Like, one of the numerous things that Bane had Zana do is basically do convert missions to further the grand plan of the Sith, such as eliminating rivals, such as other Dark Jedi that may have accrued more wealth and all of that.
She just became a Sith assassin.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much like Darth Maul in this regard.
She is both a Sith sorcerer and a Sith assassin.
Yeah.
She multi-classed.
Yeah, pretty much. But aside from eliminating other competition, this plan was twofold. It was to spread the Jedi thin so that over time, their ability to properly respond to sudden crises en masse would be diminished. So that's one of the reasons why the Jedi of the prequel trilogies are so low in number compared to the Jedi of the Old Republic and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to deal with a shit ton of pirate activity across the galaxy and all that.
Yeah.
On one of these missions, Zana would be tasked to assist slash undermine this rebel group called the Anti-Republic Liberation Front. And their headquarters were on this obscure world you may not know about called Sereno.
If y'all could just see my fucking face right now.
I said that with the highest amount of irony, Hannah.
Yeah, I know.
Because at around this time, Sereno is being accepted as a member of the Republic, by the way. Mm-hmm. So Zana, she approached the Anti-Republic, I'm just going to call it the Liberation Front. She approached the Liberation Front under the guise of Reyna, mm-hmm. which is basically a combination of Reyna and Zana, which I think is kind of hilarious.
original.
Yeah. And in this organization, she became a lover of one of the organization's more prominent members. Like, you know, she's doing the classic bard thing, rizzing this Twi'lek up and everything. Like, hey, handsome,
spy.
How are you doing?
She's being a spy.
Yeah, pretty much. And through her seductions, she pretty much convinced the Twi'lek to go out on a mission to abduct the current Supreme Chancellor who came for a visit on Sereno. And this Chancellor, I'll go ahead and put a quick picture of him. This Chancellor would be named Tarsus Valorum.
He's got a punchable face.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, didn't Valorum's family rule the Republic for a
pretty
long-ass
much
time?
Yeah, pretty much. The Valorum name. Like, this guy, Tarsus Valorum, pretty much led the golden age of the Republic in its early years. So the Valorums are a very important name in Republic history.
Yeah.
You know, Zana's just telling her quote-unquote lover, hey, it would be kind of a good idea to abduct the Supreme Chancellor. That would be pretty good and get your world out of a membership of a Republic, so on mm-hmm. and so forth. Very obviously, this mission would go awry because
shit went sideways.
Yeah, the Chancellor's Jedi escort pretty much killed every member that tried to kidnap the Supreme Chancellor. And the surviving members looked at Zana and they're like, you sussy bitch. You put us up to this task. And Zana was like, no, I didn't do anything. And they kind of suspected that Zana was basically this undercover Jedi spy. But through her powers of manipulation, so there was this Chiss member of the Liberation Front. She basically used her spells to drive the Chiss insane to the point where they gouged their own eyes out.
Damn.
And the other member brought out a vibro knife and tried killing her, and she was just dancing around him. And eventually she killed this guy who brought out a blaster, and she casually just parried the blaster bolt right back at him.
Nice.
During this entire thing that happened, the leader of a Liberation Front was just watching from his chair, and he was you can imagine the standard bad guy thing just.
Yes,
well done. And this leader of a Liberation Front, let me see if I can find his name real quickly. It's this Serenan noble named Hayden. And he was like, very impressive, Zana. I know for a fact that you are not a Jedi. You are a Sith Lord. And Zana was kind of like, you're not supposed to know that the Sith survived Rusan. And Hayden's like, yeah.
Immediately. How do you know that?
And Hedon was like, I always suspected that the Sith survived the Battle of Rusan. And I have been accumulating a lot of wealth to eventually become one of the Sith Lord's apprentices. Because this guy is a little bit of a Force sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
But since he's part of a rich family of Sereno, he used a lot of his wealth to gather a lot of ancient Jedi artifacts and relics and holocrons and all of that. And he was like, tell you what, I may not be too powerful in the Force, but what I make up for it, I make up for it in resources. Like, he's showing Zana all of his collections. But the one that piqued Zana's interest is that he spoke of an ancient Sith Lord that once that mastered the creation of Sith holocrons. And that's one of the things that Bane did not have at his disposal. Because Bane, being the Sith Master that he is, he wants a way to store his knowledge and pass it down to the next generation eventually.
He found holocrons but didn't know how to make one himself.
Yeah, because holocrons, they are super complicated to make. And
yes, dude, I know. You get a walkthrough in the Jedi Consular expansion on Rishi.
Yeah. But point is, Bane does not know how to create a holocron. But this guy has a location of where he could find means to create a holocron, so on and so forth. And Zana's like, okay, you have my attention. And Hedin also revealed that he has employed 8 Imbaran shadow assassins. And he's like, let me become your apprentice. And you have these Imbaran assassins at your disposal to kill your master.
Yep.
I think Zana is in her 20s. And I think this Hedin guy is like in his 30s or something. He's like an old ass man.
In his 30s?
I mean, in the Wikipedia article, it basically describes him as an old man. But he's been gathering all of his Sith artifacts for like 30 years at this point. So who knows? Who knows?
All right.
But yeah, like, he's like, let me become your apprentice and I will have the means of destroying your Sith master. And Zana was like, okay, I accept. But obviously, Zana did not accept in earnest, as she saw the wealthy human as basically a means to an end.
Obviously.
Yeah, and she was interested in the creation for the Sith holocrons and all that. And she's like, okay.
Not even interested in the Imbaran assassins.
Yeah, not even in the Imbaran assassins, because you will see in a little bit why. And she's like, okay, I will take you to Ambria, and you can kill my master. And Hedin was like, cool, just going to come along with you. And they go to Ambria, and Zana, she's just chilling while Hedin and the 8 assassins do their thing. Mm-hmm. And at first they got Darth Bane off guard because he never sensed any of their presence. He was just napping.
Well, obviously.
And they got the jump on him, but Zana left out the fact that he had Orbalisk armor. So Bane,
like, you just signed your own death warrant, you dumb fucks.
And basically Bane cut down to all of the Umbaran assassins, and Hedin was like, Zana, master, help me, and he got the cut down as well.
I can just imagine her in the just standing nearby, just with a shit-eating grin.
She's just chilling in the corner while Darth Bane kills all of the people. However, for all of her ingenuity, Zana did not tell Darth Bane what was happening, and Bane figured that Zana basically betrayed him, and he went straight for her, in a full of rage, and Zana's like, oh no.
Really? Oh shit.
Oh shit, and she was defending herself, and I think Bane basically cracked one of her ribs in the process, and then Zana's like, master, calm the fuck down, I did not betray you, blah blah blah, and she was proving her innocence and telling her all of the important shit that this Hedin guy gave him. And Bane was...
That would have been nice to tell him before.
I know.
This, you dumb bitch.
But here's this nice little exchange that they have afterwards. I knew you had the strength to defeat them, master. That is why I didn't come to your aid during the battle. And what if you were wrong? What if they somehow killed me? Then you would have been weak, unworthy of being Dark Lord of the Sith, and you would have deserved death. Precisely.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's twofold.
I mean, she's got the fucking tenets of the Sith down. It's yeah. Like, if you didn't survive, you were weak.
Yeah, pretty much. And Bane was obviously not weak. So, good job, Zana.
That's funny how he's just like, exactly.
Like, Bane, he was full of rage. But after he got his post-rage clarity out of the way, he's like, not bad. Post-rage clarity.
Oh my God.
Good job.
All right.
Anyway, so after Zana told her master that they have a means of creating Sith holocrons and all that, Bane was all like, the first step is that Bane needs to travel to the fortress of his ancient Sith Lord, which was on the ancient Jedi homeworld of Typhon.
Okay.
So Bane had a means of getting to Typhon, but he was all like, okay, Zana, well, I go to Typhon to dive into the ancient records and whatever might be gathered there. I have a much rather important mission that I need you to undertake. These Orbalis, they have become a crutch to me, and I need to remove them as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Because currently, there is no means of removing the orbalisms. Like, if you attempt to remove them, they'll just release toxins in your body. Bane does not want that.
Well, duh.
And he was like, all right, Zana, I need to find a safe way of removing these parasites. I want you to go to the one place which has the largest center of knowledge in the entire galaxy. The Jedi Temple.
Stealth mission.
Yeah, pretty much. And to prepare for this mission, Zana, she basically did a huge amount of research on Jedi that are currently present out in the galaxy to take up an alias. And she found this one Padawan that looked very similar to her. So she took that as an alias. And like, she went through a... She, like, studied the apprentice, studied the master, coming up with a cover story of why she's at the Jedi Temple and all that stuff. On top of that, even though she's got this thing down completely to memory, by the by, mm-hmm. She still needed to find a way to cloak her Force presence. Mm-hmm. So she came up with a spell that created a false light side aura over her.
That's cool.
That is very cool. Like I said, she is the Sith sorceress out of the two.
Yeah.
So she practiced for like literal days. And the spell wasn't perfect. Like it flickered every once in a while. But Zana basically hoped that she would be at the Jedi Temple for a short enough time that nobody would notice
her presence. Like quickly get in, get the shit, get out.
Yeah, pretty much. Notice. Like she's got everything down. All that matters is time. Uh-huh. And she made her way to the Jedi Temple. So pretty much one of the first times in over 1,000 years, a Sith infiltrated the halls of a Jedi Temple itself. And in its early days of Rule 2, by the way.
Yeah, true.
And, you know, she...
I mean, Malgus did it, but he had a whole fucking army
behind him. Yes, Zana does not have that luxury.
Zana's doing it by herself.
Yeah, pretty much. And she went into the depths of the Jedi Archives, just looking for any hint of any parasitic species like the Orbalas. And so far, she has found absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, she's going to several days, like, that's useless, is this... Nah, that's useless. Mm-hmm. And eventually she found a thesis paper specifically on the Orbalas. And this moment of a revelation made her super excited. And her aura faded away just a little bit. And she's like, oh shit. And as she's recovering her false light side aura, somebody recognized her.
Uh-oh. SpaghettiOs.
And, it's not any of the Jedi, but her cousin.
That was her cousin.
Yeah, Devron. She's like, he's all like, Rain, is that you? What are you doing here?
Immediately, oh, shit.
And he was the very last person she expected to find at the Jedi Temple.
Oh, yeah.
And Devron's like, hey, Rain, what are you doing here? How did you get off of Rusan? And Zana's like, shut the fuck up. And, like, she basically copied down the Orbalisk, and she's like, okay, change of plans. Because she looks at Devret, and she knows that he's a Jedi healer and all mm-hmm. that. She kind of hushed him a little bit and took her with him. Took him with her. And she went to another section of the Jedi Archives to find a hyperspace route that will take her to the deep core. Mm-hmm. And she's all like...
Where Bane is.
And she's all like, okay, Devret, you are coming with me. Because at this, she also realized that Devret pretty much told the Jedi High Council that some Sith survived. And Zana's like, I gotta deal with this loose end as soon as I can.
Yeah, smart.
So she's all like, all right, cousin, I'm taking you with me. And they get on her ship and make their way to a Typhon. And during this time, Devret is doing the goody two-shoes thing. Like, Zana, you could turn your back on the dark side right now and join the light side. And Zana, she motherfucking choked Devret through the Force. And she's like,
Shut up.
And she's all like, the only reason I'm not killing you right here, right now, is because my master has use of your healing abilities. And then she's like, if you continue to try and convince me to return to the light side of the Force, I'm exploding your other hand.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a very nice, a very long way of telling someone, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, so Zanna and Devereaux make their way to Typhon, where Bane was waiting for him. And Bane was like, Zanna, what are you doing here? Why did you bring this stranger with you? And Zanna's like, I'm sorry, master. I brought this guy with us because the Jedi know that we still exist, basically. And they sense the presence of another ship that entered in orbit.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs, it's the Jedi.
And Zanna realized that in her bid to get out of the Jedi temple, she was followed by several Jedi. And she led them basically straight to Bane. And Bane's like, both of you, give a fuck inside. We need to prepare.
Immediately just, oh, fuck.
Pretty much. And so, this is, I'm not going to go too into depth of each Jedi that participated in this battle, but this is one of those times where it's like one of the most important moments of the Darth Bane trilogy. I'll actually show you a picture because it's probably the most intense fight. One of the most intense fights of the entire trilogy, and there's an official picture there.
Oh, I've seen this one before.
Mm-hmm. But basically, the Jedi that followed them were five Jedi. Most of them were veterans of the Battle of Rusan and former members of the Army of Light. One of these members would be a Jedi by the name of Valentine Farafella. He's a half-boffin and a Jedi Lord. And I'll send you a quick picture of him. He's one of the survivors of the Battle of Rusan. And he made a promise to Lord Hoth before he died that he will make sure that old Sith would be exterminated from the galaxy.
Nice.
And he was so obsessed with this vow that he never told any of the Jedi that he and his cohorts were going to Typhon. Mm-hmm. So, long story short, throughout this entire, it's just a intense fight. Bane being the powerhouse that he is, and Zanna is just putting her back against a corner, being the impenetrable wall, just holding off her attackers because she knows she can't defeat them in a straight up fight.
Yeah.
And all of them got killed, and the last guy that Bane was about to kill with Force Lightning, he basically repelled the Force Lightning back at Bane. And killing all the Orbalisks that were succumbing Bane.
Spent all that time trying to figure out how the fuck to get them off of him.
Yeah.
And just had to kill them with Force Lightning.
Yeah. It's one of those tense moments in the book. Because Bane, he's just pumped up, full of toxin, and he's at the verge of death. And Darth Zanna's like, oh shit, we gotta do something. Like, she takes Darth Bane to her ship, puts her in a Bacta tank. But it's basically delaying the inevitable. Mm-hmm. Because this toxin that the Orbalisks put into Bane, there is no known cure. And Zanna's just fainting because Devereaux, even though he's a healer, he can't do anything about this shit. So she was just racking her head, like, what the fuck should I do? What the fuck should I do? Oh! That dude who cured Bane of that Synax that he told me about on Umbria. I need to go back and find him. He could probably cure him.
Mm-hmm.
So they went back to Umbria and went back to the hut where the Caleb healer was. And Zanna had to coerce him to come out of his hiding spot. And she was like, hey, so Bane told me that you once healed him a while back when he was poisoned.
Fucking over 20 years ago.
basically Zanna was all like, do you know who we are? And Caleb was like, you're Sif. I knew the moment you guys set up camp on the same planet like 10 years ago. And he was all like, I converted this cellar, this makeshift cellar, to hide my daughter if Bane ever returned. But you guys never bothered me, so I let you guys be.
Yeah.
And Zanna was all like, So you cured my master 10 years ago.
Like, and I'm calling in on that favor, fucker.
And she was like, I need you to save my master now. And Caleb was like, why should I? And Zana's like, where's your daughter? And at Viz's question, Caleb gave a satisfactory smile. And he said, she's all grown up and out of your reach.
Well, duh.
You have no power over me anymore. And Zana, she did absolutely everything to this Caleb guy. She tried threatening him. Doesn't work. She tried bribing him. Doesn't work. She even used the force to squeeze his organs. Doesn't work.
He was not making a peep.
Yeah, like in the Darth Bane episode, when Darth Bane came up to him, he's like, Pain has no power over me. And he had like a boiling pot right next to him, and he casually put his hand in there just to show that has a fortitude of 100.
Oh my god.
And Devrat goes up to Zana, is like, calm the fuck down, Zana. Stop his suffering. He's clearly not going to work with you if you keep this up. And Zana, she's at the end of her rope. She is desperate. And she kneels right next to Caleb, and she whispers to him, like, if you do not cure my master now, I will inflict the deepest, darkest fears you will ever have. And Caleb, he was silent for a moment, and he's like, if you do exactly what you described to me and harm me through that, you are basically signing your master's death warrant.
So it's like, you're fucked without me being alive.
Pretty much. And Zana was just so infuriated and stormed out of the hut to go back to her master. Mm-hmm. And Zana was just beside herself. Like, even though it does sound like she's doing this out of altruistic intentions, ultimately, she wants to get everything that Darth Bane knows.
Yeah. Like you said in the beginning, she is going to wring every secret from him. She hasn't found that out yet, and he's about to die.
Yeah, and
of course she's in that desperate mindset.
But on the other hand, Bane is pretty much her father figure. So of course she's doing everything she can to save him. It's kind of a little bit iffy in a dark sense.
Not iffy, but like that two thing.
Yeah, I gotcha. Like, Darth Bane isn't the greatest of guys anyway, but on the other hand, she's pretty much all she's got.
Yeah, and it's like, it's her motivations as a person and as a Sith.
Yeah.
It's like, this is essentially my father, but I need his secrets.
Yeah, I need his secrets. And like, she's just beside herself. And her cousin Devrat comes back like, hey, I know you're sad about your master passing away, but we could at least give him the satisfaction of a peaceful death. But Zana obviously does not want that to happen, blah, blah, blah. And her cousin is trying everything to placate her, but then he's like, all right, if you're so committed to bring your master back from the dead, or not back from the dead, to cure your master of this ailment, I was able to convince Caleb to help him. But on one condition. And Zana asked, what? Send a message to the Jedi Order.
Oh.
Basically revealing that you and your master still exist in the galaxy. And Zana, she was infuriated at this deal being enacted. But then she stopped for a moment and realized she's got nothing else. She's got nothing else that she could bring to the table to convince Caleb to cure her master. And if he's willing to do this, if she reveals herself to the Jedi, then why the fuck not?
Let's see where this goes.
And so she accepted the deal. And Caleb's like, okay, go ahead and send your message first. And Zana's like, fine. So she used a
messenger. I do that too.
Roll
the eyes.
Yes, she just sends a messenger drone that will reach the Jedi Temple, who will be alerted of their location on Ambria. And Caleb immediately went to work with his healing magic. And very fortunately, he was able to cure Bane of his ailment. And like Bane, he still needs to recover, but for all intents and purposes, he is no longer at Dev's door right now. And Zana goes up to Bane and she's like, "Hey, Master, I'm glad you're alive, but unfortunately, the Jedi know about us." And Bane's like, "You did what?" That's fun about meme. "You did what?" And like, Bane, he thinks that Zana basically...
I had to tell the Jedi, next up. What?
And Bane, he was also beside himself because he looked at basically his daughter that he trained for 10 years of his life betray him to the Jedi Order, and he basically pleaded Zana to kill her because he would much rather die. Zana to kill him because he would much rather die than be a prisoner of a Jedi.
That's surprising coming from Darth Bane of all fucking
Know. He was so beside himself.
Even Palpatine would not beg for death.
Yeah.
He would look it in the face and fucking laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. It just shows that Bane, he was committed to push forward his legacy at least.
Yeah, true.
And he was just beside himself. And he looked at Zana with utter disgust and disappointment. And Zana's like, no, relax, Master. I have a plan that we could get us out of this situation. But Bane, he doesn't trust her. And he passes out. And Zana's like, shit. And then the Jedi were on their way to Embrya. And realizing that the Jedi could be here at any moment, she enacted her plan. First off, she took out her double-bladed lightsaber and killed Caleb. And cut him into 5 separate pieces.
Cut down that loose end.
And then she used her madness spell on Devorah, driving him utterly insane.
Frame the cousin. Oof.
Yeah, and also, I kind of let this out, but she also recovered the lightsabers from all the Jedi she and Bane killed on Typhon.
Yeah.
And she just scattered them across the hut. And she used the Force to live Bane and...
got the fuck out of Dodge.
Well, not quite got out of there. They went into the makeshift cellar. That was basically the hiding place for Caleb and his daughter. Mm-hmm. And she used a concealment spell to make herself and her master invisible in the Force. And she could hear the Jedi just pounding down the door, seeing Devorah, who's just huddled in the corner like the insane person that he is. And the Jedi are like, "There's the Sith!" And Devorah attacked them, but they easily killed him right then and there. Mm-hmm. And then after a little while, they investigate, pick up all the bodies, all the lightsabers, Devorah, and they assume that Devorah was the Sith Lord they're looking for, and then they just leave.
That is some clever fucking thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Zana, she's a big brain gal.
That's why I love her.
And then after, leaving enough time...
that's fucking smart, dude.
It is pretty smart, yeah. Gotta admire her ingenuity there. You will never be able to fix her, but goddammit, is she smart.
Exactly.
But yeah, after the Jedi do their thing, get the fuck out of there, Zana... and with a comatose Bane, got out of their hidey-hole and went back to their ship. Because you might be wondering, why didn't Zana just leave a fuck out of there? And Bane was actually telling her to leave and continue on the legacy of a Sith without him. Mm-hmm. But she was like, "Yeah, I kind of dismantled the ship as part of the agreement with Caleb, blah, blah, blah." And she had to repair the shuttle and she put Bane back into the Bacta tank. And 2 days passed, she managed to repair the ship, and she went back to check on her master, who is now fully awake and full of anger and rage. Because he still assumed that Zana betrayed him to the Jedi Order, and he was about to kill her. But, she had to clarify again, like, "Master, I saved us."
I would have said, "For the 14th time, listen to me!"
So yeah, after she spoke reason into Bane, Bane was like, "Okay, that was actually pretty fucking smart." And that leads up to the quote that I said in the beginning of the episode. Yes. "I underestimated you, my apprentice."
Yes, yes, he fucking did.
So after Embrya, they needed to find a new place to hide out on. So after 10 years after Embrya, this is a little bit of a time jump here, Bane and Zana relocated to this planet called Celtrex 4. Which is basically an industrial world. They actually got themselves a pretty comfy life in a mansion.
Nice.
And they were under the alias of two wealthy merchants, which, you know, it kind of makes sense. Like, they know their way around navigating, shipping, and all that, so it only makes sense. And Zana, she was 30 years old at this time, and I believe Bane was, like, in his 40s or 50s or around there. However, at around this time, even though Bane had a well respect for Zana and her in all the close calls that she saved his ass on, Bane, he was still a little bit disappointed in Zana, because all of these decades have passed already, and Bane, without his Orbalisk armor, is slowly succumbing to old age. And he's like, what the fuck is my apprentice doing? Why hasn't she attacked me yet? Is she just waiting for me until I die? She's not a worthy successor as Dark Lord.
He looked down on Palpatine for waiting until Plague is with people.
But yeah, like, Bane...
Legit!
Yeah. Like, Bane, he was... Obviously, he's not going to approach Zana and ask her why she's not killing him yet, but he has these ideas that she's basically waiting for him to kick the bucket,
that's
basically.
Too funny. Just don't beat around the bush. Why haven't you killed me yet? I don't know.
For Zana, on the other hand, the reason she didn't attack was because she was noticing that Bane was physically deteriorating ever since the Orbalisks got killed and all that. Mm-hmm. And she kind of theorized that this was meant to be a trick to cause her to attack him early.
So he's thinking it's a trick. She's thinking it's a trick.
Pretty much. And Fuzz...
It's the fucking Spider-Man meme.
And Fuzz, she is thinking that Bane is testing her patience. Thing you gotta admit is actually pretty freaking smart.
It is.
But yeah, Bane is obviously looking down on Zana for not jumping on him.
Zana is thinking the way Palpatine thought.
Pretty much, yeah.
But Bane, on the other hand, would look down on Palpatine for waiting until Plagueis was old and feeble to kill him.
Mm-hmm. Though, secondly, she and Zana knew that if she attacked Bane right now without her an apprentice of her own... It would basically...
Rule of two doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it wouldn't mean anything. So around this time, she would be looking for her own apprentice. And eventually, she found a apprentice in this Dark Jedi by the name of Set Harraf. And I'll send you a picture of this guy, too. Where the fuck are you? There you are. He's kind of a, I guess, handsome-looking guy?
His name is Set Harraf.
Set Harraf.
Looks edgy.
Yeah, he kind of looks a little bit edgy. This guy is like a Dark Jedi that has been out on Varan. And he would run into Zana by pure chance. And she saw a lot of potential in the young man. Okay. There's actually this funny quote that Set talked about Zana. He's like, she is actually quite beautiful. If you get by the fact that she's a Sith sorceress.
I mean, she is.
She is, yeah. And Bane... Both he and Zana were accumulating a lot of Sith relics and all that, mm-hmm. But Bane, he needed to find, because he was very disappointed in Zana, he's all like, okay, I need to find a replacement for Zana, blah, blah, blah. And he wanted to extend his life, so he went out to find the holocron of Darth Anadu, who had the secrets of essence transfer.
Yep.
And... during this entire time, Zana is still staying to the tenets of a rule of two. But then she found out... first off, Darth Bane gets captured by a bunch of mercenaries. And Zana's like, oh shit, I gotta bail his ass out. But then she finds out that he got the holocron of his Darth Anadu guy. And she's like, this motherfucker, he's trying to...
He's gonna betray me.
He's like, he's trying to extend his life. He doesn't... see me as a worthy apprentice? That bitch.
He doesn't see me as a worthy successor.
Yeah, pretty much. And she's like, okay, I'm going to have to bail his ass out, but eventually I'm going to have to kill him. So
Eventually.
Well, it might happen sooner than you think. So she goes into this prison complex called, where was it? Give me a quick pause here. There we go. She goes to this place called the Stone Prison, which is an entire underground complex. And eventually, you know, she's doing the classic rogue thing, just dodging guards, going through the ventilation systems and all that. Mm-hmm. And eventually she finds Bane, not in prison like she thought he would, but he's actually talking to this woman who turns out to be, Lucia. The former Gloomwalker, when he was a soldier within the Brotherhood of Darkness. Mm. Like, they were conversing, and, like, Lucia was like, wait, Deso, you're Bane? Like, what the fuck is going on? And they're, like, catching up on old times and everything. And Zanna noticed that Bane didn't have his lightsaber. And she saw this as the perfect opportunity to kill him right here, right now. So she used Force Lightning, and Bane projected up a Force Barrier, mm-hmm. which killed Lucia. Oof. But basically, Zanna was like, okay, Master, I found out that you are using the art of essence transfer because you don't see me as a worthy student. And Darth Vader's like, that is not true. I want to extend my own life so I can extend my training to your replacement. You are clearly unworthy and all that. Because Zanna is thinking that Bane is being selfish and he wants to continue to be immortal and all that. Bane does not want to be immortal. He just wants to live long enough to pass his teachings to someone else. So basically, the first duel between master and apprentice begins, and they're just fighting all across this prison complex.
These fuckers can't communicate.
And Bane, keep in mind, he doesn't have his lightsaber, so he's kind of at a disadvantage, but he's using Force Lightning here and there. But during this entire time, there was this woman. Her name is Sera. She is actually the daughter of Caleb and the very person that abducted Bane, because she kind of remembered that Bane used her to get Caleb to heal him. So she figured, okay, Caleb is dead. You clearly killed him. So she's doing this out of revenge and everything.
Yes.
So she decided, okay, I'm not going to be able to kill these fuckers in the middle of their fight. I'm going to set off this entire prison to self-destruct and take both of them down with it.
Mm-hmm.
And during this entire thing, an explosion basically separated Bane and Zanna away from each other. And Zanna was kind of forced to get the fuck out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And her apprentice, Set, was supposed to be there waiting for her as like a getaway driver. But she found out that he left her there.
Fuck.
And he's all like, all right. Do the Nagasanao family technique! And Zanna's like, that motherfucker. But she managed to get herself out of there in her own ship.
Smart.
And Zanna was just like, okay.
Prospective apprentice.
Like, she's like, okay, Set, he's low on my priority right now. I started this fight with my master. I need to commit and kill him as soon as possible. He will show himself eventually, because Bane is not a coward. And fortunately, not too long after, Zanna got a distress signal on a channel that only she and Bane knew.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at it, and you want to guess where the coordinates are directed from, Hannah?
Rusand?
Ambria.
Okay.
Because she's all like, okay, Bane is clearly at Ambria. At Caleb's hut, the very place where I pulled the move of saving him from the Jedi Order and all of that.
It's the daughter.
And she's like, at first she figured this was a trap, but her instincts tell her that this is basically Bane challenging her. This will be the last ultimate duel between master and apprentice, and who is truly worthy of a Dark Lord of the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes there, and she finds Bane with a second person. And this person was an Itachi assassin, who is the race of Sacy Tin and all that. Who have the curved horns. Bane, during his time at the prison, found an assassin as a worthy student, and he proclaimed this student as Darth Cognis. And I'll actually show you a picture of Darth Cognis. There we go.
Like that makes any fucking difference. You see not even a full half of his face, a quarter, and his horns.
Well, as she, but yeah, she's kind of camera shy. But that's the only official picture we have of her.
Okay.
But anyway, so Zana realized that Bane found her potential apprentice. But Darth Cognis was like, I swore my loyalty to the Sith. I am not going to take part in this battle. But I will swear loyalty to whoever comes out on top. And she just walks away, leaving Bane with Zana.
That's kind of how the fight between the player character and Darth Saravin work on the Battle of Ilum.
Yeah.
Because he has a boss with him, mm-hmm. and she's like, I will bow to the victor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool.
And here is one last exchange between master and student. And it's probably one of the most badass ways of ending the Darth Bane trilogy. Not quite end, but a lead up to the end. I wondered why you chose this place to meet. I thought it might have been some symbolic meaning for you. The last time we were here, you were too weak to even stand. You were helpless, and you thought I had betrayed you to the Jedi. You said you would rather die than be a prisoner for the rest of your life. You wanted me to take your life, but I refused. You knew I still had things to teach you. You swore you would not kill me until you had learned all my secrets. That day is here. I have surpassed you, Bane. Now I am the master. Then prove it.
Badass.
And this is where their final duel commences. And there's an official picture on that. It looks pretty cool.
It could be better, but...
Could be better, but still pretty cool.
Yeah.
So...
I like that Bane has a curved hilt saber.
Yeah, he's obviously the martial master out of the two in this regard. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the fateful final duel between master and apprentice begins. This time, Bane is now armed with his lightsaber, because the previous time they were fighting, didn't have a lightsaber, so he's kind of... and has the advantage now.
They're on equal ground, I think.
Yeah, they were on relatively equal ground. And Bane, he was very obviously the superior martial artist. Zana's defensive form is the only thing that kept her alive throughout the first seconds of the entire duel. Like, she's doing a lot of acrobatic moves and everything, and she's slowly tiring herself out, which is what Bane wants. And... so she's realizing that martial ability is not going to work. So she falls back to her sorcery and all that. And she used an illusion on Bane, which briefly incapacitated Bane. But he conquered his fears long ago. So he kind of dispelled the illusion from his mind. And, let me see. And Bane was kind of putting Zana on the back front. And Zana, she was forced to draw on the dark side nexus that existed on Ambria. Mm-hmm. And she used this power to summon forth tendrils of pure dark side energy to attack Bane with.
Nice.
And these tendrils of dark side can disintegrate anything they touch. And like one tendril... hits Bane's shoulder, kind of incapacitating him a little bit. And Bane kind of tried to detour him away with Force Lightning, but that's clearly not working. So he decided to straight up charge at Zana and shoulder tackled her. Mm-hmm. And depriving
fucking
her...
football tackle.
Yeah, pretty much, because Bane is a muscle of a man, and Zana is just...
it's a big dude.
He's a big dude, basically a football player, and Zana is just a motherfucking twig in comparison. And he deprives her of her double-bladed lightsaber, and he's about to deliver the killing blow, but one of the tendrils of the dark side basically cut off his left arm, depriving him of his weapon. And he was screaming in absolute agony as his hand just twitched on the ground. In a last-ditch attempt, Baina grabbed Zana's wrist, and he enacted essence transfer on her.
Okay.
And basically, Bane's entire body disintegrated into dust because he was trying to...
He
was trying to take Zana's body and replace it with his consciousness. But Zana, she resisted. And it was basically a battle of wits at this point. Both of them seem even at first, but a couple of seconds passed and Zana banished Bane to the void of a force.
He didn't even become one with the force.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And Zana emerged victorious. Barely, because she had several broken ribs after this.
Well, yeah. It's like a normal, like, take a normal ass housewife.
Yep.
And put her up against a fucking linebacker.
Yeah, pretty true, yeah.
You'll get hurt.
Yeah. And then after this, Zana, she kind of just awkwardly got back up to her feet. By the way, Bane, there is no evidence of Bane ever being there, except for the left hand that's still twitching off the ground.
Uh-huh.
And she awkwardly raised up to her feet, and Darth Cognis was like, "Bane, did you win?" And then Zana's like, "Bane is gone. I am victorious. And you, Darth Cognis, you will become my new apprentice. You and I will continue Darth Bane's legacy in the Rule of Two." And she levitated Bane's lightsaber and gave it to Darth Cognis, basically telling her, "This is your weapon now. Customize it to your heart's content."
Cool.
And with that, Zana continues forward as the new Dark Lord of the Sith, and the Rule of Two continues unabated.
Yes.
And that is the end of the Rule of Two episode.
Fucking finally. Hey, we actually kept it to two episodes.
Yes, we actually did. I was a little bit worried that this might be a little bit long. I had to cut out a shit ton of stuff. But yeah, after going through this research, I actually do have a better appreciation for Darth Zana now.
I love her.
Yeah, she, of course, everybody's going to say she's the Gov GF and that they could fix her, but she went from a meager little girl that was all for adventure and became the future Dark Lord of the Sith.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool, in all honesty. And once again, continuing the thread of humble beginnings.
And not only was she the future Dark Lord, she defeated the creator of the Rule of Two.
Barely, but yes, she did. Through pure wits and cunning.
Not even that, it's just she defeated Darth fucking Bane.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but any closing statements, Hannah?
No, I'm too tired.
That's fair. But yeah, that's our episode of Can Mayonnaise Kill a Jedi? Or in this case, I can fix her.
No, it's just, you can step on me.
You can step on me, fam. But yes, hope you guys absolutely love that episode. I know you're all about your Goth GFs and everything. We all love our Witches of Dathomir. Zana's obviously not a witch, but she is a Sith witch of some kind, let's be honest.
She would fit in with the Dathomir witches easily.
Oh, absolutely. But I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. Once again, keep an eye out for our 1,000 subscriber special episode. Everybody in the Discord knows pretty much what we're doing, but if you want to know, just join the Discord server.
Yeah, go ahead and join the Discord server. And if you do know, don't fucking blab.
Exactly.
Keep your mouth shut.
We know who you are. I see everything. But anyway, keep an eye out. We'll have our next episode in a week. In the meantime, I might upload a couple of shorts here and there, so keep in tune for those. And any closing statements on your side, Hannah?
Aside from a big-ass yawn, May the force be with you. Let the hate flow through you.
And with that, the force will free me. Bye-bye.